Welcome back to Mountain Money. On the phone with us now, we have Dave Davis. He is with the Utah Food Industry Association, and that association includes grocers, convenience stores, and food suppliers. Dave's joining us this morning to talk about supply issues faced over the last 2 months. We all experienced shortfalls, everything from toilet paper to yeast. Dave, first off, welcome to Mountain Money. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
So let me get right to the question that's on everybody's mind. You know, I don't think over a 12-month period, America is using more toilet paper than it did the year before. So why was there a shortage, and when are things going to get back to normal?
So it's such a great question and an interesting phenomenon that we're going through and experiencing right now. I know that we all went into our local grocery stores over the course of the past 8 to 10 weeks or so, and we've seen the shelves that have been wiped out from toilet paper. So what's really happened there is we saw over the course of a very short period of time an enormous spike in the demand for toilet paper. For some reason, as we experienced both this COVID-19 pandemic and then sort of aggravated by the earthquakes that we experienced right on the heels of that, people were compelled to start buying toilet paper. And they bought it at sort of an unprecedented rate. We saw spikes where we were seeing a 200 or 250% increase in the demand for particular products. Now, when that happens, when you have an enormous consumer spike in demand, it's just virtually impossible for the supply chain to keep up with that demand. And so that is what was really driving this shortage, is that we had people out there that were stockpiling, and toilet paper is such a great example because it's a product that truly can be stockpiled as well. So that's really what was driving the shortages as it relates to toilet paper. Now, we can look at other products as well, where sometimes a shortage can be driven by some problems on the production side of products, and not solely by consumer demand. And we saw that a little bit in the area of eggs. When you went into the grocery store for a period of time, it was really difficult to get a hold of eggs. Well, the funny thing about hens is it doesn't matter how much you yell at them to hurry up, they lay one egg a day. And so that shortage, to a certain extent, was driven by a production shortage. And so that's an example. But I think one of the most important things to get across to your listeners today is the food supply chain is in really, really good shape. We are experiencing some temporary shortages here and there. But when you walk into a grocery store, rather than maybe seeing 65,000 different products to choose from, we may be seeing 63,000 different products to choose from. So I think that we need to keep that in perspective as well.
Some of the products that we've seen shortages are, as you say, from a production side. We had what one might think was an irrational demand for toilet paper, in the sense that nothing about the pandemic would sort of increase the per capita rate of excretion. But there are products that the pandemic would increase demand for. And what I'm thinking about is things like hand sanitizer, which I think has been and also wipes, which have been a consistent shortage. What do you anticipate will happen with respect to those products?
So there have been a number of things that have happened in those areas. And I think that you are so right about that idea of the sort of irrational demand for some products. And there are other products that there is truly a rational basis for. We need more of these. We need more of these products. Hand sanitizer, wipes fall into that that category. So there are a number of things that are happening. We've seen the traditional producers of those products have stepped up, and they're producing as more quantities. Oftentimes what we're seeing with these traditional producers is they may limit the types of products that they're producing. That is, they may no longer produce a 20-ounce bottle and a 15-ounce bottle and a 12-ounce bottle, but they're streamlining their operations to be more efficient. The other thing, interestingly enough, that we've seen is we've seen what I'll call non-traditional producers step up as well. A good example of that is with our distilleries that we have in the state. A couple of the distilleries have shifted their production from consumable products to hand sanitizers. They're in the business of distilling alcohol, and one of the key components of hand sanitizer is alcohol. And so we saw a number of distillers that jumped into the fray and picked up the banner and started to run with it to see if we could increase the supply of hand sanitizer. We've seen industrial companies like Rio Tinto that have shifted some production into producing hand sanitizer. And so this is what I call sort of our non-traditional group of producers. And it's been quite stunning to see great companies stepping up and saying, we don't do this ordinarily, but we're gonna do it. Another area that is a good example is with masks. We've seen people who might be traditionally garment producers shift into the production of masks. And I know the Utah Manufacturers Association worked with a number of their members to help produce 2 million masks that they made available to the state. And the state is now making those masks available to citizens of the state through the free mask program.
Yeah, no, it's been really nice to see people step up like that. I want to talk to you. We've got two key issues we want to get to quickly. My question is, I am so grateful for the people that are working at the grocery stores. And I'd like you to take a minute and talk to us about what the stores are doing to protect the employees, and also importantly, what we as consumers can do to do our part and help protect those employees.
So thanks for that question, because I think that we have some unsung heroes here. I refer to these folks as our new class of first responders, and they are the people, when you go into your local grocery store, your local convenience store, that are there stocking shelves, manning the cashier stations. They are just doing incredible work out there. And quite frankly, they're doing it for a wage that is not a, through the roof type of wage. And so my hat is truly off to these folks. So what are stores doing to address their safety? All of the stores now, as people come into for their shift, are going through a screening process with each of their employees to make sure that they're healthy and they're not symptomatic as it relates to COVID-19. That protects that employee as well as the employees, the other employees, and the customers. As you've gone into stores, you may have seen some plexiglass shields that have gone up. That is done in an effort to try to protect those cashiers and the customers. All employees are wearing masks at this point. It's an interesting point about masks, and I want to be clear about this. When you wear a mask, provided it's not a N95 mask, you are typically wearing that mask to protect others, not to protect yourself. So all of those employees that are wearing masks are protecting us as consumers. They're protecting their coworkers. So my plea to people out there that are going to be frequenting retail stores is please do your part. I know that there are strong feelings about masks on both sides of the spectrum. Please wear a mask when you go into a retail store. And remember that you're not doing that to protect yourself. You're doing that to protect those employees that are showing up every day, stocking shelves, filling up dairy cases, manning the check stands, carrying groceries out to your car. That's why you're wearing that mask. So please, as consumers, wear a mask when you go out into a public setting like a retail store.
Is another aspect of employee protection sort of the limitation of hours that we're seeing at the major grocery chains so that the restocking of shelves can be done without interplay with consumers?
Yeah, we're seeing that as well, where people are sort of limiting hours. It gives them time not only to stock shelves, but also to really sanitize the store for the next day's business. We're also seeing things like at-risk shopping hours, where older people or people that are immunocompromised are given the opportunity to come in and to shop where there are fewer crowds that they have to deal with.
Our guest this morning has been Dave Davis with the Utah Food Industry Association. Dave, thank you so much for joining us on Mound Money.
Thanks for having me.
And Mound Money will be back after this.